96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. There's always a lot of talk about taxes at the end of the year. And there's even more to talk about this year with the new tax reform law going into effect. So what do you need to know about your property taxes, donations, deductions, and other tax issues? Well, Teddy Perillo, the Teddy the Tax Man, is here with the answers to your questions. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Teddy's answering all questions, and not just about the tax reform law, but any tax question that you have. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Happy New Year, Teddy. How are you?
Oh, I am doing absolutely wonderfully, and I wish you and yours the happiest of New Year's ever.
Well, thank you so much. A lot of people are concerned about a happy new year as well as a happy April 15th because there's a lot of confusion still about this new tax reform law. Let's get down to the basics. This week, property taxes have been a big question. The IRS issued a statement essentially saying that prepaying your taxes, your property taxes for 2018 will not allow you a deduction if your assessment hasn't gone out. What does that mean?
That's right. We really were caught off guard by this. Now, first of all, I don't know a whole lot of people who are going to go out and pay a few years' property taxes in advance anyway. Okay, so let's say that.
Okay.
But it was very surprising to hear that the tax had to have been assessed. And in plain English, all that means is that whatever jurisdiction you resided in, it had to say your taxes for the year are going to be X. So that's really it. That's the basics of it. The jurisdiction in which you resided had to have said, okay, the amount that you're going to owe us is X amount, and then you paid it, and then it becomes a legitimate deduction.
But you couldn't guess what it may be if you haven't seen or received an assessment.
Right. You could not guess at all whatsoever. You had to have heard from them first and then paid it, and then you'd have been okay.
Okay. And for our listeners that are in the D.C. Metro, there's been a lot of concern about this very issue. For example, just yesterday, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said this is applicable to property taxes in the District of Columbia because those assessments have already been released. They were released back in October for D.C. residents. However, for example, in Montgomery County, they have not been released, and people who paid after the county council passed, changed their tax code or changed their tax laws, they're not going to be able to get that money back. And in it's crazy.
You are always right on it. You are right on it. And you're as far as the folks in D.C. are concerned, yes, those assessments have been made. And so when they paid those property taxes, they got that deduction for 2017. Here's the critical part to that. The critical part to that is that you write that check. That check needs to be dated prior to January 1st, number one. And number two, it has to be mailed prior to January 1. Why am I stressing that? I'm stressing that because that is quite different from getting that extra amount of mortgage interest in prior to the 2018 year. In order for you to get that extra amount of mortgage interest in, you have to physically pay that payment prior to January 1st. So right now, we know it's too late, but you can go online if you have the wherewithal to do that and the finances to do it. Go on it, and if that payment is locked in on December 29th, December 30th, you're in.
Okay.
So you get that extra amount of mortgage interest. Yes, sir, you do.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking to Teddy the Tax Man about year-end tax tips as well as the new tax reform law that was signed by the president a little more than a week or so ago. If you have any questions about your taxes, give us a call. Teddy is answering your questions. And, of course, we will be taking your phone calls even after 7:30 on Sirius XM Channel 141. So now is the time to give us a call. We'll take them shortly. Tell me some of the other things that people need to be concerned about relative to this new tax law.
Okay, why don't we start with our business owner listeners?
Okay.
Harold, I got to give them some love because every once in a while, people will call me and they'll say, you know what, when you're talking to Harold, you never talk about, you know, what's good for us business owners. So guess what? I'm going to hit you with that right now.
Okay.
Here are some things that I don't want our business owners to do right now. I do not want you to prepay your rent for January. I do not want you to go out and purchase inventory. Why? Because, see, people think that that's going to be a deduction for 2017. It is not. It is not. So for inventory, if you really, really need the inventory to keep your business going and or you've got sales all lined up, yeah, go ahead and purchase the additional inventory prior to January 1st. Otherwise, don't. Here's the logic. Don't you hear at the end of every year car dealers saying, hey, you know, we got these special prices, we got these special promotions and things like that. Why? Because if they don't get rid of the inventory, each car, if they don't get rid of the inventory, they pay taxes on them. So I don't want our business owners to go out and prepay rent and do not prepay inventory, please. Here's what you do want to prepay. Go ahead and purchase your equipment. Purchase your tools, purchase your supplies, purchase your advertising, those kind of things. If you do that right now and prior to January 1st, you get the deduction on 2017's tax return.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking to Teddy the Tax Man, answering your tax questions. If you have any, give us a call. Lines are open. Cassandra calling from Clinton, Maryland. Thanks for calling, Cassandra. What's on your mind?
Well, something in regards to the taxes for this year. We actually own a house. The house burned down. So, of course, it's going to be reassessed. I wanted to find out, are we going to be penalized? Because we were only told, or from what we've seen, is that only $10,000 would be taxable. But anything over that, then wanted to find out, are we going to be held accountable?
Okay, this is what she's asking. I'm going to translate this for the rest of our listeners.
Sure.
She's asking about the more than $10,000 figure as far as property taxes are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You need not worry about that for 2017. It's only 2018 and beyond. So if your property taxes are going to be $11,000 in 2018 and beyond, you only will get credit for, get this, $10,000 of it.
Okay.
So that's a little frustrating to some folks. And I want to tell you, I really want to see how this works out, Beverly. I really do.
And that was Cassandra, actually. But
Cassandra, sorry.
No, that's quite all right. But here's the other question that a lot of people are asking. So let's say, as you just mentioned, for 2018, if your taxes, your property taxes are, let's say, $12,000 and the cap is at $10,000, so what happens to the other two?
Oh, you still have to pay it.
Right. Well, I realize.
you just
I realize that.
Income tax credit for it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And that's obviously a very, very difficult predicament for others to belong in, to be in. So, Cassandra, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to the conversation you were talking about, you know, your small business owners, whether you know, you got your home-based business or you know, you and your son or your daughter have opened up a mom and pop bakery or what have you. What else do small business owners need to know in reference to the new tax reform law?
Oh, yeah, okay. So in reference to the new tax reform law, I do want to say this. Here was another disappointment that came out in regards to the new legislation. If you go back earlier in 2017, the current administration's idea was to get the tax brackets down to 3.
Right.
That did not happen.
Right.
The other thing is the corporation's tax rate. The highest tax bracket for, let's say, what we call a C corporation, and I can't get into that right now,
mm-hmm.
but the highest tax bracket for corporations was 35%. It is currently down to 21%. And so I know, you know, those of us who own corporations are going to say, yay, 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 but it's kind of difficult because what we were expecting was a big drop in our tax rate, the individual tax rate, not the corporate tax rate. We were expecting, you know, if we were in the 25% tax bracket last year and in prior years possibly, that maybe we would be in the 20 in the years to come. That didn't happen, unfortunately. Those tax rates dropped just a little bit. So suffice it to say, corporation owners really, really did make out very, very well under this new administration.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Teddy the Tax Man about your end of the year tax questions. Now, let's talk about personal income taxes. There were some changes with that tax law as it relates to standard deductions,
yes.
child care credit, child credit, and the like. Talk to me about that, and what does that mean for? We keep hearing this term: if you make, you know, $75,000 or less, it's going to help you. How is that going to help you if you make $75,000 or less?
Yeah, I can't remember which Republican it was, but I can't remember whether it was Rubio. I think it was Rubio who held out.
Originally, yeah, it was. Yeah, Marco Rubio out of Florida. Yeah, he did hold out.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. He held out because he was saying that he wanted the child tax credit, the child tax credit. That's that credit that you get for a dependent, for your dependent child who is under 17 at the end of the year. That's the credit you get for that particular person. But he held out, and he said, I am not going to vote for this unless we can get that the child tax credit to be increased. Guess what? He got it increased, and then he voted on it. So there's a lot of things going on. The standard the personal exemption is gone. The standard deduction has changed. And the reason is because the president was saying, well, you know what, now a lot of people don't have to itemize. It's kind of a touchy subject, Hal, because for years our clients have come to us and said, hey, what would it be like if I purchased a home? You know, I'll have mortgage interest to deduct. I have my charitable contributions. I have my property taxes. We did the mock-ups. We did the forecast, and we said, wow. It looks like you'll make out better if you are a homeowner. Now we have to wait and see.
Well, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see on the other side of this break, because I want you to be able to finish that point. But I've got to take this break. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are answering your end of the year tax questions, all tax questions, whether they have to do with the new tax reform law or your own personal taxes, deductions, the whole bit. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR 96.3. More of this conversation on Sirius XM in just a bit. Lines are still open, so give us a call. We'll be back in just a few seconds. SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Teddy Prelo, Teddy the Tax Man, about your taxes, end of the year tax tips, and your questions answered about the new tax reform law just signed by the president a little more than a week or so ago. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Teddy, before the break, we were talking about some of those particular changes. Let's talk a little bit about the standard exemption and how that impacts people.
Right, yeah. The standard deduction.
Deduction.
Mm-hmm. That was a point of contention for just a little bit. But it's been increased now to $12,000 if you're single, mm-hmm. $18,000 if you're head of household, and then $24,000 for people who are married filing a joint tax return. So on the good side, that increase. On the tougher side, some of those people who were barely able to itemize, you know, because the mortgage interest rate is so low and things like that, won't be able to itemize now. Let's see if these changes are going to make a big difference for those folks. This will be very, very interesting, and we won't know this. We won't know this for a whole year, okay? We won't know this for a whole year, but this is going to be interesting. You'll hear a lot of talk. You hear a lot of opinions. You hear a lot about, you know, this is what happened to me and things like that. So this is going to be a very, very interesting year coming up.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Maddox calling from Montgomery County. What's on your mind? Maddox, are you there? Give us a call back if you can. So here's the other question, and I know I mentioned that $75,000 figure before, but a lot of As you've heard during the course of this year, there was a lot of discussion about pundits talking about this tax reform is going to impact the wealthy, and they often, you know, tossed around that $75,000 figure. But when you're talking about the D.C. metro area, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Miami, and places like that, and let's just talk about, you know, Washington, D.C., because $75,000 is for, you know, for a lot of people living in the D.C. metro area, that's just not a lot of money, because this is one of the most expensive places in the country to live. You have a lot of federal government workers, whether they are single households or married, that are making well over six figures, some of them as much as $200,000. And so while that may play well in Kansas City, that $75,000 doesn't play well in Washington, D.C. Would those people be considered rich by what this reform law says?
No. In 1969, these people were in the top, let's say, 4 or 5% of taxpayers in the country. That's not the case now. You alluded to it just now. $75,000 is not a whole heck of a lot of money. Now, so you mentioned certain states, and let me throw in Maryland, because Maryland is a high-income tax state. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a high-income tax state. And so we pay a lot in state income taxes. We really, really do. We, my friend, are upset because after 2017, we can no longer deduct our state income taxes paid. Now, think about this. I'm not just talking about, you know, you file your tax return, you owe the state $1,000, you pay that $1,000. No. Look beyond that. Think about this. State income taxes are withheld from every last one of our paychecks if you happen to live in a state that has an income tax. Think about that. So people will lose out on a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 deduction by way of the loss of the deduction of the state income tax.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit, Harold. And so you've got a lot of these changes, let's admit, because I'm fair. I like to admit things, because that's just the way to do it. This will work out for some people. But for some people, they are going to be very, very upset. And I always go back, ever since this came out, I always go back to this. Corporations got a drop in their income tax rate of, get this, 14%. 14%.
That's huge. 14%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the hope is that these corporations are going to then hire people. No, stop. That's not going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is this extra money is going to go to the shareholders. Mm-hmm. Shareholders are generally not compassionate. They're not going to say, hey, we got an extra $10 million in the pot. Why don't we go out and hire people? No, because the name of the game since 2008 has been do more work with fewer employees.
And stack cash.
But shareholders are not going to vote to hire more folks. It's not going to work.
Let me talk to Jason. Jason calling from Northwest D.C. Jason, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Got a question regarding settlement from property that was inheritance property. I just received a check in, for some property, inheritance property, and it was I'm the PR for this property, and there are five siblings. My question is, how is this money being taxed? Now, it's going into an account, the estate of my mom, and so the money is not being, doesn't come to me directly. So at what point is this money taxed? Is that when the distribution is made?
Good. No. You know what? That's going to be taxed on the estate level. So this is what happens. Jason didn't sell the house. The estate sold the house.
Mm-hmm.
So the capital gain is going to be claimed on the estate's income tax return. Mm-hmm. And that's another one of those situations where the estate has a high income tax rate. So do as much as you can to distribute something or pay expenses or something for that trust prior to, and we're assuming that this is a calendar year trust, try to do that prior to January 1st. You only have a few days, but that's the way you want to do it. So the bottom line, to answer your question directly, the estate is who will be responsible for that tax liability. Yes, sir.
I see. Okay. So what about the money that has to be distributed among five siblings, though? So would that be responsible for that since I was a PR on that? And would I have to be responsible for that particular tax, or do I wait until I distribute it? Because there's a waiting period that we receive this money today, and there is a waiting period that's going to take us over and above the 1st of January.
Yeah. No, so it's not going to fall directly on you. Mm-hmm. It falls on the trust. Now, whoever the representative of the trust is, it ultimately falls on that person. So do you get what I'm saying? It falls directly on the trust, mm-hmm. and then indirectly on the person who is the rep, because you are responsible for that tax return. Okay.
So let me see if I can. First of all, what's a PR?
A personal representative.
Personal representative.
Okay.
That's for the estate, that the person leaves this estate to siblings and all, and then you have one person that is a legal representative.
Like the executor? Is that like the executor of the estate?
Exactly.
Okay. So here's my question, Teddy. Let's assume that, let's just say this is $100,000. Just before the money is distributed, will the taxes be taken out of the $100,000 and then distributed, or are the taxes paid after the distribution? Does the money come out after, before or after?
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like we're going to be talking about two separate years, Harold.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. Because Jason said that the house was sold. I'm assuming it was sold in 2017.
Right.
But that's a tax year 2017 issue.
Okay.
Anything subsequent to December 31st is a tax year 2018 issue.
Okay.
Okay? And that's why I said we're talking about two totally, totally separate years. And Jason said himself, hey, you know what? I can't do the distributions prior to January 1st. There's just no way that's going to happen. So remember, we're talking about two totally, totally separate years. 2017 is where the – oh, and by the way, let me say this. The estate is actually going to pay a capital gain on the sale of that house. That's favorable to the estate. I can tell you that right now. That's okay. Going to be favorable, and that's going to happen all on the 2017 tax return.
Okay. So what do I, as the PR, do then at this point? Do I file the taxes for 2017? You know, do I report that, or do I report that on 2018?
No, you're going to report that on 2017 because that's when everything occurred in 2017.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's when the sale of the house occurred in 2017.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
All right. Well, Jason, happy New Year, and thank you so much for giving us a call.
Thank you again.
Yeah, I wish you well, Jason.
Sure thing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, talking to Teddy the Tax Man about your tax concerns. So, Teddy, with all of the other things that are happening with the new tax reform, we still have electronically, if no other way, we still have an opportunity to move some money around. We still have an opportunity to make some donations and the like. A lot of people are concerned about that. So what do you do?
Yeah. Okay. That's actually good news over these next few days, because get this, Harold. Unlike the mortgage situation where you literally had to have paid that mortgage, that payment had to have been on the system, unlike that situation, your charitable contributions, all you have to do is write that check, make sure the check is dated prior to January 1, and put it in the mail.
Okay.
It does not have to be received by the nonprofit entity. It does not have to be received by the church. It is tax deductible for 2017 as long as it's dated prior to January 1 and it's mailed prior to January 1.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, so you get a little bit of a break on that one.
So correct me if I'm wrong. It seems as if a lot of the concerns about the tax reform law really may not impact, you know, Joe and Jane taxpayer until this time next year for 2018. Yeah, for 2018. And so for tithes and offerings and the things that people have normally done during the course of the year before tax reform, can they still prepare to do those things next year?
Yes. Yes. Oh, and be prepared. I predict that the employers are going to say, Harold, Jason, everybody, all the employees have to refile a W-4. Be prepared for that.
Meaning what? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, the W-4 is what tells your employer how much or how to withhold federal taxes from your pay.
Oh,
I predict that everybody's going to have to do a new one. Why? Because the tax tables will change.
We'll talk about that. Hold on. Let me get into that on the other side. I've got to take a break. But that's a really, really critical point, because you're going to see more money in your check next year. So we're going to talk about that on the other side. We're also going to talk to Pamela calling from Waldorf. Pamela, stay with us. We'll talk to you next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your tax issues, end of the year tax issues, and the tax reform law, how it impacts you. Lines are still open as we talk to Teddy the Tax Man at 202-319-7810. 319-7810-202-319-7810. Pamela calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Pamela. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi. First, I want to say hi to Ted. This is Pamela out of Clinton. You did a tax talk at our school at Outreach Christian Center Academy. I want to thank you for that. My question.
Oh, hey, Pam. How are you?
Hi. I'm just fine, Ted. Just fine.
Good. Good.
My question is to elaborate on the changes to employee business deductions. So I know they had a repeal of certain miscellaneous itemized deductions that are subject to the 2%. Just so people know what deductions they will not be able to put on their Schedule A when this new tax law comes out.
Yeah. Check this out, Pam. I did an analysis, and I'm going to be talking about this on Monday morning on the Fox channel here in Maryland. I did an analysis of what was deductible back in 1986.
Wow.
Versus what is deductible in 2017. And if you were to look at those two schedules, A, you would cry. Because
wow.
Back in 1986, get this, you got to deduct credit card interest.
Right.
Credit card interest.
Car loan interest.
Your car loan interest.
Yeah.
Installment loan interest. You got to deduct all of that. And then they chopped away. 31 years later, there's very, very few. There are very, very few items that you can deduct. Yeah, mortgage interest is still there. Property tax is still there to an extent. We already said that the state income taxes, those are gone. Now we're looking at gambling losses. Well, you know what? You were able to deduct gambling losses for a while, and it wasn't even subject to the 2%. You were able to deduct that as long as you claimed the amount of gambling winnings. Now, what is there? As an employee, you can still do some of those deductions, but nowadays, since you and by the way, somewhere along the line, they stuck in this 2% floor.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in 86, it didn't matter. You could deduct all of that. But somewhere between 1986 and 2017, they stuck in that 2%, which said if you didn't have employee business deductions,
right,
that equated to more than 2% of your adjusted gross income, you couldn't deduct any of it. So all of those deductions now, Pam, are going the way of the dodo bird.
So what do we have? Yeah, so what do we have? I mean, that's like you said, it's gone. So what do we have?
All right. So you still have those deductions. Let's say you're a supervisor on the job and you do, surprises. You do gifts out of your own pocket. Those are still deductible. Here's the problem. It still got to equate to more than 2% of your adjusted gross income.
Correct.
If it does not, you don't get any deduction on that. So those kind of things. So your union dues, uniforms that you are required to wear on the job, those are still there. Again, they have to equate to more than 2% of your adjusted gross income. So in essence, rhetorically speaking, what is there that you can deduct? I'm back to Pam's question now.
Yeah.
That's great. Yes.
Yeah. Does that mean that there is very little there? I mean, do you have anything? I mean, you know.
No. Almost nothing, Harold. Almost nothing. And that's why I was talking about the things that have disappeared from 1986 to 2017. Now, in between that time, one other thing that has disappeared off of that Schedule A, your itemized deductions, is moving expenses. So we say, man, that's terrible, that's unfair, and things like that. But guess what? The good news is if you qualify to do so, you can deduct your moving expenses without even itemizing, without even having mortgage interest, property taxes, and things like that. So that's the one.
And you know what, Ted, if I'm not mistaken, aren't tax preparation fees also now taken off as being a deduction? I mean, there are a lot of things employees need to know that they used to be able to claim that they're not going to be able to claim again.
Absolutely. So tax prep fees and those kind of things, they're gone. And our clients, Pam, are oh, by the way, Harold, Pam is a fellow enrolled agent.
Okay.
Doing real good things down there where she lives. And so, yeah, a lot of those things are being they're going by the wayside.
So let me ask you, okay, so instead of, because like I said, honestly, I don't care about 1986 because we knew about 1986 and 87 and 88 and 89 that we don't care about that. But what we do care about is, you know, what options do you have now? For example, what happened to the automatic minimum tax? Is that now gone?
Alternative minimum tax.
Yeah.
The alternative minimum tax is gone. This is what they tried to, especially for corporations. And you know what? I'm not sure what they did on the individual side of it.
Because that's what I'm asking about. Because, you know, you may have a small business or what have you, but most people don't. They're, you know, again, we're talking about people who live, for example, in a high-income, high-cost-of-living community such as the Washington metro area, and the automatic, the alternative minimum tax has been a thorn in their side. So if it's gone, what does that mean now?
No, it's not gone.
Oh, okay.
They wanted it to be gone.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Okay.
Yeah, but what they did, real quickly, they didn't do what we call indexing for inflation over the years. So a lot of people were hit by it unnecessarily. What they did, though, was they changed the rules. And they made it harder for the alternative minimum tax to be so pervasive throughout our society. So this is what I'm guessing. I'm guessing that fewer people will be hit by the AMT than were last year and in the immediate years prior to last year. Fewer people. So they didn't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get rid of it. They just changed the rules a little bit so that fewer people will be hurt by it.
You also mentioned before the break we were talking about adjusting the W-4. Talk to me about that.
Yes. I predict that your W-4 will have to be changed, and that is primarily because the tax tables have been changed. And you mentioned something before we went to break, Harold. My goodness, I was not going to bring it up, but you did. I'm going to point the finger at you.
Okay.
And you said our paychecks will be a little higher nowadays. Well, that's not going to be anything to write home about. I can tell you that right now. When people see the difference in those paychecks, they're going to be disappointed. They are. They're going to be disappointed because, you know, when you talk about a difference in the paycheck, you would like to see $100, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even $75, you might be happy, but I doubt if it's going to be anything close to that.
Yeah, and I know that there have been several tables that have been put out by various news, you know, organizations, and again, talking about people who live in this area with six-figure salaries, whether it's in the low 100s or the higher 100s, near 200,000, where you could see a difference, and depending on your marital status, children, and all of that, but you can see a difference of between $2,000 and $4,000 a year. But let's just take $2,000 a year. My pastor would say every little bit is a blessing, but the reality is that an additional $2,000 a year, if you break that down to two payments a month, it's, you know, over 12 months, you're just not going to, you may notice a little bit.
My friend, you are always thinking.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly where I was going. So you break down that, let's say $2,400. You break down that $2,400 into 12, it's $200. And then you break that down further, and then you go, wait a minute, I'm only getting another $21 per pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm afraid that is what people are going to see. I don't foresee anybody getting a change of $400, $500 per paycheck. And so therein lies the problem.
So why change your W-4 then?
Because it's going to be required by the federal government. That's my prediction, because the tax tables have changed. So let's do this. Let's talk to our listeners about increasing their 401k contributions.
You've got 1 minute to talk about that. So go right ahead. 1 minute, and then I'm out of time. Yeah.
Do it. Because increasing your retirement contributions, I'll say, is even better than those tax deductions that you've been taking. Why? Because you are paying yourself money. You are lowering your federal taxes. You're lowering your state taxes. You're lowering your local taxes. And in the very end, Harold, you will have some money on which to retire. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't take advantage of a situation like that? So don't focus on the deductions. Focus on your 401ks, your 403bs, and those kind of things. Increase those contributions, and let's move forward. And let's not even worry about these tax deductions.
So you're talking about a 401k or a 403b, not necessarily a Roth, because you don't get a deduction from your Roth.
Very good. Very well said. That's
okay.
Right.
That's what I thought. So, yeah. Boy, lots to handle and so little time. Teddy, thank you so much. Hey, Pam, thanks for joining the program.
Thank you. Yeah, Pam.
Yeah, and, you know, Pam's down there in southern Maryland, down there in Waldorf, where it's probably 1 degree warmer than it is here. So, Pam, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Teddy, Happy New Year, buddy. I appreciate it. I'll be talking
happy
to you.
Happy New Year, sir.
All right. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 29th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. I want to wish everyone a happy and safe new year. I will see you in 2018. Be safe and God bless. Stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.